in Pittsburgh, it's the one. Fun loving KQV Audio 14 on the go go.
IDXers, welcome to MarketScope for April 2008, as we begin our 24th year of the DX Audio Service. This month, we have a real MarketScope, as Mark Marino sent us air checks to the most popular stations in Charleston, South Carolina.
Training on you.
When the rain brings you down, we've got the songs to perk you back up on the new Rocket 980. Tell everyone you know, the good times are back. Charleston's only rock and roll station is the new Rocket 980. Charleston's only rock and roll station, the new Rocket 980. The new Rocket 980, Charleston's only rock and roll station, would like to show you our softer side. Join us at 8 o'clock tonight for Twilight Time, an hour dedicated to love and lovers. Only the best love songs of the rock and roll era to help set the mood and stir the soul. Join us tonight at 8 for Twilight Time on the new Rocket 980. WAZSAM, Somerville, Charleston. More great 50s and 60s rock and roll in just 60 seconds on the new Rocket 980.
3, 2, 1. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Here we go. Launching another hour of great 50s and 60s rock and roll on Charleston's only rock and roll station, the new Rocket 980.
Another Saturday night that I ain't got nobody.
We're WAZSAM, Somerville and Charleston know us as the new Rocket 980, the rock and roll preservation station. Nothing can beat my Rocket 980. Broadcasting from the city consistently voted America's friendliest. And we thank you kindly for listening. Charleston's only rock and roll station, the new Rocket 980.
Everybody's swinging. Oh, we're dancing to the music. Yeah.
For listening to On the Beach with Charlie Brown. I got a couple of four top songs for you, starting with one of their after Motown hits, Sweet Understanding Love.
Hi, this is Duke of the Four Tops. You know, with Charlie Brown, not the same old song.
On the Beach, and I'm Charlie Brown with the most popular beach music song ever, 60 Minute Man by Billy Ward and the Dominoes.
Charleston's only rock and roll station. Nothing can beat my Rocket 980.
The Spinners. Charlie Brown.
This portion of On the Beach is sponsored by Carolina's Strategic Health Services Corporation, strategic planners and analysts to the healthcare industry. To learn more, visit cshsc.com.
WTMA AM 1250.
Two accidents right now on Dorchester Road, one at Michaud Parkway and another between Orangeburg Road and Bacon's Bridge. If you see any other traffic problems, give us a call, 277-1250. I'm Josh Dukes for the WTMA Total Traffic Center.
Well, it looks like we're going to have a beautiful day weather-wise for this Wednesday, February the 20th. Sunshine today and a high of 65 inland, about 62 along the Carolina coast. Then tonight, great weather for viewing the total lunar eclipse. Partly cloudy, low down to 41. We'll give you more details on the eclipse coming up in a few minutes. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness, a 20% chance of rain and a high of 59. Then Friday and Saturday, a 50% chance of rain both days and a high of 65. But when the rain ends, Sunday, partly cloudy and a high of 65. Right now, an absolutely gorgeous sunrise along the Carolina coast. Enjoy. 46 degrees along the beaches right now, and we have a chilly 40 degrees here at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA.
The Big Talker.
Live, local, and in real time.
WTMA.
From ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. The weather is great in much of Florida right now, and that's good because Space Shuttle Atlantis is set to land a little over an hour from now.
Certain restrictions and other terms of supply. See store for complete details, huh?
No doubt about it. All right, then. There you go. That was real fast. I definitely had to take a picture and record that with my Nokia 6085. Said that so fast, I might have forgot some. It's the Breakfast Club. Movie matinee coming up.
Tessa and Baby J are gonna get you up and on your way. Giving you all you need to know. It's the Breakfast Club morning show. Yeah.
Valentine's Day is almost here, and I know some of you men have no idea what to get your girl. Well, be warned, the following four gifts will make her try to stick Cupid's arrows up your ass. Number one, a romantic candlelit dinner at the strip club. No woman wants to see another woman shaking her ass while she's eating, unless she's bisexual. But watch out, she may go home with the dancer instead of you. Number two, anything that can be used to help her lose weight. This is one night you shouldn't point out that her buttons are about to pop and her pants are sucked in her tail. Number three, a hair trimmer. Pretend you like her hairy top lip and the underarms that look like she has someone in a headlock. Number four, groceries so she can cook her favorite dinner. You may find that dinner in your lap instead of on the plate. Stick with the basics. Flowers, candy, perfume, and expensive jewelry. And you may wake up with a backache in the morning. Act like you know. This is the Diva. And until next time, mwah, smooches.
The Man Minute, brought to you by Piggly Wiggly.
Again, 1-800-964-9599.
Z93 Jams, 18 minutes now before 9 o'clock. Josh Dukes has traffic.
An accident in North Charleston, Rivers Avenue at Green Ridge Road. Also in Monk's Corner, traffic lights still not working correctly at 52 and 17 alternate. If you see any other traffic problems, give us a call, 277-1250. I'm Josh Dukes for the WTMA Total Traffic Center.
Z93 Jams, a quick look at sports. Well, the Georgia Bulldogs have snapped a 5-game losing streak. That's your sports. It's the Breakfast Club, Z93 Jams.
It's the Breakfast Club. This club, a morning show, Tessa and Baby J.
16 minutes until the 9 o'clock pick me up with DJ Vince D. Hey, you want to go see Welcome Home Roscoe Jenkins?
Of course you do.
We'll name this movie.
Diane, when you get married, you give up the eyes for us, okay? You don't make those kind of decisions without talking to me.
What the hell am I doing? I don't even know why I'm having this argument with you. I'm tired of arguing about the same damn thing with you. It's clear to me. One thing, very clear. You don't want to be married.
308-9393, toll free 866-521-CLUB. You name the movie, we'll send you to Regal Cinemas, any Regal Cinemas, North Charleston, Mount Pleasant, or Somerville. And you can see Martin Lawrence's movie, Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. Yeah, you pay for the dinner, we'll spring for the movie. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Club, Z93 Jams. Vince D is in the mix.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
FM. Some of the
town. Non-stop commercial free.
Hip hop and R&B all day.
Check the game.
Z93 Jams.
This is the home for the best 2008 election coverage. You're listening to News Radio 94.3 WSCC Goose Creek Charleston.
I'm Kelly Gold, and this is News Radio 94.3 WSC, where local news comes first. It's 10 o'clock. We start on the crime beat. Bullets fly outside the Sweetwater Cafe. It's on Folly Road in James Island. Investigators think it was a drug deal gone bad. Our next news comes your way at 10:30 or when news breaks. I'm Kelly Gold, and it's 10:02.
A wreck on Ashley Falls Fade at Dorchester Road. Another crash on Leeds Avenue at 526. If you see a traffic problem, 721-2277. Traffic and weather together from the 94.3 WSC Traffic Center.
Keep the raincoats and the umbrella handy here today, especially later on into tonight. We'll see a 50% chance of rain afternoon. Otherwise, 58 the high today. Rain likely here this evening, 56 the low temperature. Meanwhile, tomorrow, morning showers even giving way to partly sunny skies in the afternoon. It's going to be a windy day in 68. Expect great weather this weekend. I'm Storm Team 2 Chief Meteorologist Rob Fowler on 94.3 WSC.
You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Now, the Glenn Beck Program on News Radio 94.3 WSC.
This half hour of the Glenn Beck Program is brought to you by ProFlowers.com.
From the new Two Girls and a Guy morning show with Tanya, Brooke, and Special Ed, the new guy. What would you do to live free for an entire year? It could happen to you very soon. From the new Palmetto Place luxury condominiums in Mount Pleasant and the number one hit music channel, 95SX.
WSX, Charleston's number one hit music channel. You're inside the Two Girls and a Guy Music Hour. We'll talk to Jason from Fox in a little bit. He's downtown at the Charleston Music Hall in line with all the auditioners for So You Think You Can Dance. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. Now JoJo, 95SX.
Come to me, stay the night. Say the words,
but
boy, it don't feel right. What do you expect me to say?
Listen longer, win bigger.
95SX.
Hey, what's up? This is Martin from Boys Like Girls, and you're listening to 95SX, Charleston's number one hit music channel.
Diet Pepsi and the 95SX Two Girls and a Guy morning show want to give your Super Bowl party a $100,000 upgrade. Text the word SUPER to 67664 for your chance at a $100,000 Super Bowl tailgate party. You could win a new HDTV and the chance to get 100 grand if you predict a Super Bowl final score.
And someone's going to win an oyster roast from Dockside Seafood on Old Trolley Road in Somerville. 200 pounds of steaming fresh oysters for you and your friends.
Enter now. Text SUPER to 67664 and get automatic membership to the 95SX VIP text club with info alerts and exclusive off-air contests sent right to your phone. Standard text rates apply. Official rules are at 95SX.com.
Powered by Dockside Seafood, Old Trolley Road in Somerville.
Brought to you by the South Carolina Education Lottery. Here's Bill Walsh.
Hey, good morning, everybody. A Thursday morning, kind of chilly this morning. We'll get to around 58 this afternoon. We'll see clouds thickening later today. About a 30% chance of showers by this evening and tonight. 50% chance tomorrow. Variable clouds, sunshine, 67 tomorrow. Saturday and Sunday, upper 60s. Not bad for the weekend. I'm live by Chief Meteorologist Bill Walsh, hanging out on a Thursday morning right here with two girls and a guy in the morning on 95SX.
44 now in Somerville. Commercial free with Hinder. 95SX.
Thanks, Mark. We'll be back next month to finish out Charleston's most popular FMs. Remember, I could sure use your help in getting a market scope from your hometown. If you'd like to contribute, tape your town's radio stations, add commentary if you wish, and send them to me, Phil Wayne, at 313 Spring Street, Upper Sandusky, Ohio 43351, 1652. It's your help that keeps Market Scope and the DX Audio Service going. Thank you. Now here are the musings from the members.
Hello, DXers. Wayne Ryan, right from Ontario. Well, last Monday, which was February the 11th, WLGZ in Rochester, New York, 990, joined up with their FM station, 102.7, on their simulcasting, and now it's pretty well dance music. Before that, they were a good music of your life station, and they had done several other things under several other different call letters before that. Also, had some catches. WCIN in Cincinnati on 1480 about 10 o'clock one morning. Now, the only times I'd ever had that station here before was when it would be getting about dark at night. I would never have thought of having them at that time. And one day, also this last week, I picked up Emmett, Michigan, on 1270. It was blowing Niagara Falls in Detroit right out of the water.
Hi, this is Mark Marino from Goose Creek, South Carolina. Well, if you're DXing and you pick up something on 730 that's Spanish, it may be our Charleston station. I don't remember the call letters, but last week it was Music of Your Life format out of Los Angeles. But this week, at least yesterday, probably changed Monday, March 3rd is probably when it happened. They are now Spanish, and I can't tell if it's local. It sounds like it's a satellite thing, but I'm not really sure. But I thought all of you would be interested in knowing that. Take care. Bye for now.
Hi, this is Mike Lance in Miami Beach, Florida. It's two anniversaries in April. Number one, it's the anniversary of 1550 WNTN in Newton on April 1st. That's WNTN Newton, Massachusetts. They came on in 1968. And the second anniversary is to the DX Audio Service. Congratulations. Happy anniversary. Question. Whatever happened to 1550 WAAY in Huntsville, Alabama? And do you see radio getting back to its normal self again, where it used to be fun to listen to? If you think that radio couldn't get any worse, it's going to get worse. Beginning Monday, 640 WMEN Men Talk is changing format. They're going to go sports. They're going to change call letters to WFTL. Yes, there's the WFTL at 850. There's going to be one at 640 and 1400, otherwise known as Mystic 1400, with Caribbean music. They're changing format. They're going back to sports. And guess what their call letters will be? WFTL. I don't know. I don't get it. Radio's crazy down here. To give an answer to Paul and Lucille Burkhart's question, on 1030, if you can't pick up WBZ at night, you might be able to pick up the station in Orlando on 1030, which is in Spanish. And there's also a station in Corpus Christi, Texas, which is religion, KCTA. There's also a station in North Carolina on 1030. But the two stations you're mainly maybe picking up, maybe one of them would be the station in the Orlando, Florida area, which is in Spanish. Talk to you later, and congratulations for a DX Audio Service year of great service.
This is Tim Hendel, located in Huntsville, Alabama, fulfilling Fred's request to tell a little about ourselves. I started getting the DX Audio Service right at the beginning in 1985, and I lived in Miami until 1996 when I came here. Besides DXing, I'm interested in shortwave, foreign languages, travel, politics, especially liberal politics, reading, and eating out, especially in foreign or unusual restaurants. And I love the DX Audio Service. All of you are doing a really terrific job, and thank you so very much for everything that you do. I hope I'll be in Pittsburgh this August. The aeronautical beacons on the longwave band don't usually concern us, but there is one now. The frequency is 529 kilohertz. The call sent in Morse code is LYQ. It's located in Manchester, Tennessee, about 60 miles or so from Huntsville, and gives a better signal here in Huntsville than I would expect. And there's voice weather by Dave Franz, the owner of shortwave station WGTG. Being 1 kilohertz off, it produces a terrible heterodyne with any station on 530 when the skip is in at night. During the day, however, it's in the clear, stronger than you'd expect one of these stations to be from the distance away from here that it is. And here is what it sounds like.
Roseanne Airport, Manchester, Tennessee, USA, aviation weather. Wind 230 degrees at 4 knots. Visibility 20 nautical miles. Sky conditions clear below 12,000.
Hello, everyone. Dale Ham from Kansas City, Missouri, and I'd like to say hello. I commented on a radio interference from different items. I, too, had that problem with a little old cheap electric heater bought at a Walmart store for like $17. Every time that thing would come on in the room, it would eat up my receiver real bad. 7-3s, everybody.
Green DXers everywhere from Cygnus 1, just outside the star cluster you call Alpha Centauri. The DXing is still pretty good here, but all we're getting is 1930s radio shows. It must be the time delay. And by the way, can a tell us whether Franklin Roosevelt won the election. Peace to all.
Hi there, this is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. A comment and a question. The comment is, I love that jingle from 1946. Many radio stations could do the same jingle today, and if you wouldn't have told me, I would have had no idea when it was. That was fantastic. And the question is, will I be able to receive in the future, or will there be a change in the 88.7 spot on the FM dial, Channel 6, WTVJ in Miami? Will I be able to pick that up on the FM, or will that be elsewhere? Thank you very much.
Hi, Kevin McGill, Madison, Wisconsin. Mr. Balker, I very much appreciated your tour of the South Arizona radio dial. A lot has changed since I was down there. I used to go down there every couple of years or so. My folks were living out there in Tucson, and some of that I kind of remember, but I did not know that KVOI was technically out of Harrell Valley. And there was a time when KMRR was a top 40 rocker, KHYT. And then they were kind of a big band kind of thing like KGBY was. And now I don't know what's up with them now. But like I said, Mr. Walker, very much appreciated it.
Hello, Fred and DXers. This is the one and only Victor speaking to you from the Schmidt House in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. Today is March 5th. Last evening, 1260 WWRC went off the air, probably for maintenance or something. Apparently, a lot of stations in the D.C. area are doing this now. So last night, I had a chance to get the Disney station up in Boston, and I think I got the station in Syracuse. I had a little bit of difficulty with the iBox from WTAE in Pittsburgh. Mark, you were right on the money about interference. Apparently, I've been ahead of the curve and have done everything you have suggested. Problem I have is with neighbors. Fortunately, two of them cooperated, and I offered to pay for a couple of neighbors to get new dimmer switches. That eliminated 95% of the problem. Another neighbor across the street said he won't use his dimmer switch anymore. My problem, I guess, is getting interference from the cable signals from other houses. I've also noticed, and I'm curious about this, I took a radio upstairs on the second floor of my house and seemed to get more AM stations. Does height matter for receiving? I know it definitely does for FM and TV. Also, the interference investigator at the power company will help you if you specify the interference and tell them where it is happening. I've taken a radio and walked up and down the street and pinpointed where the line noise was coming from and told the investigator. He came out, got the power company to fix it. Because of my actions, our neighborhood was spared a couple of power outages because the transformers were starting to go. Also, you may want to call the cable companies to pinpoint problems. The whistling sound that I complained about on the Muse for last month was gone. Probably the very strong windstorm we had knocked a wire over just enough to eliminate it.
Hello, friends. Ken Onischuk, Lockport, Illinois, on Wednesday, March 5th. I want you to know about two books that I've just seen concerning radio. One is Doo-Wop, The Music, The Times, The Era by Cousin Brucie Morrow. I just picked it up out of the Lockport Library here. It's about 6 by 9 inches, about an inch thick, and it's pretty good reading if you want to get someone to read it to you. The second book I saw was at the Joliet Library, WSM, Air Castle of the South, and the Making of Music City by Craig Havockhurst, 280 pages, University of Illinois Press, if someone wants to pick that up and read it to you. I think it'd be good reading. I'm not a country music fan, but if others do, I welcome you to go out and find it.
To Mark Durenberger, you said on the last Muse that you worked on the Twin Cities radio years back. What on-air name did you use? It would be kind of interesting to see your career up there over on the Internet, but obviously Durenberger wouldn't have been a good on-air name, so I'm just wondering what you did use on the air.
On the Internet yesterday, I noticed this item. In the Denver area, 104.3 KJCD in the Denver area has dropped Smooth Jazz for ESPN Sports at 1 o'clock Friday due to a decline in audience and ad support. Lincoln Financial Media, which owns the station, has dropped it for KKFN 950's format of sports. The Fan will be heard
a 950, it appears, until March 31st. Then a new format will be on 950. The NHL Avalanche and the NBA Nuggets will also move to 104.3 in the Denver area. So we'll find out what happens to KKFN's format in April. And that's it for now. Thanks.
Mark Dernberger in the Musings Control Room responding to questions from Victor and Ken. And first, Ken, what do you mean? You don't like a name with 23 syllables? Well, the truth is, I used my name on the air, but in a different way. I did not do a lot of music jocking in Minneapolis, except for a three-year stint in the early 70s on a Pioneer FM station where I played overnight jazz. But for the most part, the shows I did had titles, and the presenter's name wasn't important. But I do Google pretty well on the internet. One other thought, Ken. You're a fine fellow, and I really enjoy your work, and I think it'd be fun if you and I put on a show together using our real names. We could probably work up a routine around how long it took to pronounce the show title. Victor, to your question about reception upstairs being better, given the long wavelengths of the AM broadcast band, with all other things being equal, it wouldn't matter if you were in the attic or the basement. In a purely wooden frame house, for example, it wouldn't matter at all. What comes into play are two factors, shielding and noise. Shielding from certain types of construction can, in fact, cause a loss of signal. And as we know, interference generated by nearby noise sources will play an even bigger factor. It's not at all unusual for the main floor to have the largest number of interference generators, especially with the kitchen nearby. And the basement, if you have one, usually adds its own problems. If you want to test the shielding theory, shut off all the power to the house and carry a battery radio from floor to floor. That'll give you some idea of whether there's radio signal shielding going on, but it's not likely that that's the culprit. It's usually noise interference that makes one floor better than another. I'd like to thank all of our listeners who commented on the stories we've done about getting rid of noise. In future columns, we may get even more specific, but let's wait until the IBUC issue is settled before we meet again on this topic. Finally, congratulations to Fred and my fellow editors on this anniversary broadcast. You know, I was not so long ago the rookie on the service. So many of your contributors have been here for a long, long time, as have many of you listeners. So we congratulate you as well for sticking with us all these years. That's it from here. I've got to go figure out how to shorten my name. 73.
On a past edition of the DX Audio Service, I was going to read this article. However, we had some circumstances which prevented that. So at this time, I'd like to read an article by Bob Ross of London, Ontario, and John Bryant of Stillwater, Oklahoma. Their article is titled, Ultralight DXing, More Fun Than We've Had In... Starts out by saying, for many of us, the DXing hobbies have been in the doldrums for the past decade. In the shortwave broadcast band DX hobby, so many of our favorite stations have left shortwave that tuning 60 meters takes on more the character of a wake than a fun DX experience. On medium wave, in North America at least, the doldrums have been quite thick. What with thousands more of all-night stations, many Canadians leaving for FM, and worst of all, the long-feared IBOC hiss has finally arrived. It's sometimes a very depressing scene. In our sister club, ODXA, listening in columnist Joe Robinson published a very thoughtful piece in January concerning the hobby doldrums that so many of us have experienced. He concluded with, "We need to take advantage of what radio has to offer now. We cannot bring back the past. Maybe we also need to branch out in our radio TV interests in our multifaceted hobby." Well, I couldn't agree more, and we want you to know that help has arrived. A DX tonic, maybe a fountain of youth, has been discovered in the past 2 months, and it's spreading like wildfire through the DX listening hobby. It's called Ultralight DXing. The two of us, and at least 100 more North America listener DXers, have been DXing up a storm using small, cheap shirt pocket portable AM radios. In late November 2007, medium wave DXer Gary DeBrock of suburban Seattle went out and brought a small Sony SRF-59 Walkman for the sum total of $14.95. It was planned as being a gift to his son. Little did he know that there was a family of cheap analog Sony-based radios on the CXA1129N proprietary IC chip. That is called the radio on a single chip, which has been found to be unusually selective and sensitive. Although Gary's son was not interested in DXing at all, Dad soon discovered what a superb DX machine this little pocket wonder was. Within days, he heard lots of North America stations, and then he caught JOIB 747 from Sapporo, Japan. The Japanese big guns are usually easy to hear from the beaches on the southwest, but they are darn rare in suburban Seattle. Even with sophisticated antennas and very expensive DX receivers. Gary heard JOIB well at his home, at his Lazy Boy rockin' recliner on the radio that he was holding in his hand using the tiny internal ferrite bar antenna. Word got out over the internet, and there was a run on the SRF-59s at various retail and internet stores. Ultralight DXing was born, based on a shirt pocket radio and initially woven together by the power of the internet. Soon, some of us wanted to move away from analog to digital dials, and we began to explore what digitally dialed shirt pocket radios might offer as DX machines. We were pleased to find out that some of them almost measure up to the awesome SRF-59 family. What really fueled our activities in December was the fact that we were having so much fun DXing again. That has continued to be the case. In the past several weeks, we have established a technical committee to assist the rest of the ultralight DXers with the innards of these little wonders, and also a definition committee to review all small shirt pocket radio portable sets and determine just which of these would qualify as ultralight radios for inclusion in any of the records or award programs that might be established. This latter activity was necessary because there are some very expensive, very sophisticated communication receivers on the market that can fit into the shirt pocket radio category. That is not the concept behind the new ultralight medium wave DX effort. Rather, the intent is to utilize moderately priced, simple shirt pocket portable common used sets as entertainment radios by the general public. In other words, we are artificially limiting the sophistication of the receivers used, much like radio amateurs have limited transmitter power in the QRP niche of the amateur radio hobby. Nevertheless, those DXers not yet aware of ultralight DXing will be shocked at the DX achievements that are possible with these pocket radios. Below is a partial list of receivers that have been recognized by the Definitions Committee for inclusion into the ultralight first and records and any DXing events or contests. A complete list along with photos, reviews, articles, can be found in the ultralight file section of www.dxer.ca on the web. Here's a list of the receivers. The Sony SRF-T651-JE. The Sony SRF-59. The Sony SRF-M37V. And the Sony SRF-M85V. The Sangean DT-120, the Sangean DT-180V, the Sangean DT-200VX, the Sangean DT-210V, the Sangean DT-220V, the Sangean DT-300VW, the Eaton E100/Texan PL-200, and the Sea Crane SWP/Red Sun RP-300. The least expensive recognized ultralight radio was also the currently most popular, the original SRF-59, at around $15 US. If you own a shirt pocket portable that you would like to utilize in ultralight DXing, one of the things not yet recognized by the committee, you should contact Gary DeBrock, and his email address is d1028gary@aol.com, and ask for that model radio to be considered by the definitions committee. The Ultralight crowd has also established an official website with Colin Newell's www.dxer.ca website for files of interest in Ultralight DXing. And we have founded an official list of firsts and records with John Bryant, BJOHNORCAS at rockisland.com. The current firsts and records would have been totally unbelievable to most of us just over 2 months ago. North American ultralighters, primarily Alan Willey of St. John's, Newfoundland, have heard stations in well over a dozen European countries. Several ultralighters have contributed to our six Asian countries, dozens of North American countries, and four in South America, all with radios that you can hold in the palm of your hand. Ultralight DXing got its start as a movement on the IRCA's email group. Gary DeBrock and several other Northwest DXers are active in that group, and the rest of the Denzians of that list have put up with our ultra chatter. Others should note, though, that ultralighting and the committee and the programs discussed here are pan-organization efforts and are not in any way limited to the official functions of the International Radio Club of America. The most difficult thing to communicate to DXers unfamiliar with ultralighting is the flat-out delight and fun that we have been experiencing. One of the most celebrated ultralight events so far was Rob Ross's adventures in the month of January, where he logged over 300 stations on his trusty ultralight radio. Rob's description of that experience is a historical document, but more important, it addresses the fun of ultralighting better than anything else written so far. Here's what was written. Heavy Duty DX on a Ultralight Radio by Rob Ross. On December 31st, 2007, I received a package in the mail. Little did I know that the contents of that package would change the way I viewed and participated in AM broadcast band DXing forever. That little package sent to me by Gary DeBrock of Washington contained a somewhat unknown at the time little pocket radio made by Sony, the SRF-59 Walkman. This radio was sent to me as a gift. But the real gift received on that day was not the radio, but rather a renewed interest in AM broadcast band DXing. I have been an AM broadcast band DXer since 1976 and have logged over 1,000 stations throughout the past 30-plus years on a myriad of cheap and high-end radios. Thousands of hours have been spent during that time listening to static crashes, buzzes, whistles, and other assorted squawks, trying to pull out that elusive ID from a station far, far away. However, over the past 5 years or more, I've been discouraged by the proliferation of stations leaving the AM band, the clutter on so many of the old clear frequencies, and the frustration of the newly invented brainchild called IBOC. It just wasn't the same, it seemed. I was not sure if anything was going to bring back the glory days of AM band DXing. Well, my friends, I'm here to tell you that in spite of all the challenges facing the modern-day AM DXer, it is still possible to hear stations we listened to back when we first got into the hobby. They are still out there, buried under the static crashes, buzzes, whistles, and other assorted squawks. All we need is something that could dig them out, and now we can have it. The entire contents of the package, the Sony ICF-59 Walkman, when Gary first offered these radios to anyone who wanted one, I have to admit, I didn't even know what they were. I had never seen one, and most likely wouldn't have ever bought one, even if I saw one in the store. I remember opening the package to reveal a tiny plastic radio with an analog dial, no speaker, headphones only, a volume control, and an on-off switch. I sort of chuckled and thought to myself, okay, what the heck am I going to hear with this aside from my three local stations? Well, the answer to that question is, what can't I hear on this little radio? After everyone else had gone to bed on New Year's Eve 2008, I decided to turn the SRF-59 on and see what it could do. Flipping that switch has changed my DXing hobby into a passion again, and here's why. When I first started logging stations, I thought to myself, wouldn't it be neat to log 100 stations on this little radio like this? As the stations heard started to pile up in my logbook, after a few days of listening, I thought, just how many stations could be logged in 1 month? I thought if I got to 100, I would be happy. But I soon realized that 100 would be a very easy feat. So after weeks of DXing with this mighty mite, I set a goal of 300 stations in 30 days. Along the way, I listened at various times of the day and night. I listened in the morning and at sunrise. I listened in the evening at sunset. I listened during the daylight hours and listened late into the night. Something strange was happening. I was hearing stations that I hadn't heard in years. I was also hearing a lot of new stations, stations I have never heard in 30 years, even on my high-end Drakes and Collins receivers. What the heck? How could this be? How could a single AA battery pull in this kind of DX? What did it take so long for anyone to realize that the future of AM DXing was right there in front of us, in this plastic case smaller than a deck of cards? So my mission was outlined. Now to see what I could hear. Early on, I discovered this tiny marvel had excellent sensitivity, excellent selectivity, and I could null out pretty much anything to an amazing degree. I began hearing stations parked right beside my strong local stations. I was able to hear stations under other strong stations. I was able to dig out two or three stations on the same frequency at the same time. Wow, this couldn't be so. During the first week of DXing, I logged three countries, Canada, United States, and Cuba. Then one evening, I logged PJB on 800 from Bonaire, Netherlands, Antilles. And then the Turks and Caicos on 530. Then came along Mexico, Venezuela, Colombia, Jamaica. Hey, this was starting to be fun again. Along the way, the state's herd started to climb. 5, then 10, then 25, and the total stands 32 states herd in 30 days. I also heard 5 provinces. One thing that stands out with the SRF-59 is its amazing ability to dig out low-powered stations, especially during daylight hours. I'm amazed at the number of daytime-only stations that I have heard, using powers ranging from 5 watts to 1 kilowatt. Stations that are relatively close to me, but have never been heard before, they were suddenly there. What is more important than what I was actually hearing is that I was actually having fun again on the AM broadcast band. I was feeling like a teen back in the 60s and 70s, listening to stations like CKLW, so I could hear the latest number one record, long before cable TV, VCRs, computers, and the internet, listening to those stations that had brought me so many hours of memorable receptions. Something strange was happening. I was being taken back to those days again, thanks to the champion of AM pocket radios, the Sony SRF-59. As the days and weeks went by, my logbook grew. I was past 100 stations in no time. Then came 200, and it went. Things started to get a little harder to log after 200 stations were heard, but I continued on my quest for 300 stations in 30 days. I have to admit, I spent a lot of hours DXing over the past 30 days. But all of them were enjoyable, even though I was a little tired after a few days of marathon sessions at the dials. I pressed on to see if 300 were possible. Today is the 30th day of my DX challenge, and I'm happy to report that last night I logged number 300 after exactly 30 days of DXing. The prize station was 730 WLIL, Lenore City, Tennessee. The first question was answered. Can 300 stations be logged in 30 days on a single AA battery? Most certainly it can. As I sit here typing right now, I have logged 304 stations, and I ask myself, is 500 possible? How about 1,000? How many countries can be heard on this radio? How far away will most distant stations be? DXers have already proven that 4,000-mile-plus propagation is possible. I guess that pretty much opens up the world to ultralight DXing. I have to wonder just how many stations would have been logged by now if only I had known about these little radios 5 years ago. It scares me to think what I may have already missed by not having an ultralight pocket radio. But what thrills me is the fact that I don't know what else I'm going to hear in the future. I now have three of these ultralight radios, three Sony ICF-59s, and a digital readout model by Sony called the Sony SRF-T615. Both are amazing little DX machines. I'm anxiously awaiting my next DX wonder to try out, the Sony SRF-39FP, clear plastic case model, more commonly known as the prison radio, due to its clear case that was designed for prisoners of DX. I know there are still a lot of DXers out there who may not have tried one of these little sets, and maybe a few who haven't gotten a chance at all. My advice is, try one out. Give it some time, and you too will see what many of us have already discovered. These radios are great. It looks crazy, seems crazy, and heck, it is crazy. But these are real DX machines. Does it sound like I'm having fun? You bet. When will it end, and where will it take us? Well, that's anybody's guess. I, for one, am very happy to be in and on the ground floor of this amazing new subculture of broadcast band DXing called ultralight DXing. If you are interested in getting involved in ultralight medium wave DXing, you ought to refer to the very helpful files in the ultralight section of DXer.ca. There are excellent receiver reviews and other helpful files. Then, get you one of these little beauties and get started. You won't be sorry. Along DX Audio Service, I just have time to say 73 good DX and get out and support radio.